This is WBUR's Morning Edition. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. All this week, we've gotten a glimpse of some of the deficiencies in children's mental health care in our series, Are the Kids All Right? A look at children's mental health care in Massachusetts. Some of the challenges we've heard about include the shortage of pediatric mental health care providers, the difficult choices parents face about medicating a child, and how early we can or should start looking for signs of mental health problems. Joining us here in the studio, a panel including State Mental Health Commissioner Barbara Leadholm. Good morning, Commissioner. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Also joining us, Dr. Jean Baresson, Director of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Residency Training at Mass General Hospital. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And same to Lisa Lambert, Executive Director of the Parent Professional Advocacy League, which helps parents who have kids with mental health needs.
Thanks for inviting me.
Let me ask you first, explain why all of this should matter to me and everyone else on the other end of the radio. The question is, why is pediatric mental health care important to people who are not necessarily personally dealing with it? Jean Baresson.
It's a huge social issue. I mean, if we look at the numbers, between 10 to 20% of kids and adolescents have psychiatric problems. Most of these go into adulthood, which leads to unemployment, disability, and in childhood, school problems, social isolation, substance abuse, difficulty with academics, school dropout.
Commissioner.
I think it's important that people realize that kind of mental health and of a sense of well-being is very, very important to a child and kind of successfully growing up.
Commissioner, if it's important for identification and treatment to begin early, what can be done to make sure that kids actually get the care they need early on?
As you've noted in earlier discussions this week, screening, talking really with your pediatrician, I think raising the issues. And as a pediatrician or a pediatric team, they're being sensitive and actually screening for behavioral health issues.
Lisa Lambert, listen to this with us. We started our series this week with a story of the Cadigan family. One of the five children in the family, 17-year-old Will, has had several diagnoses, has tried several medications, has been hospitalized four times, started self-medicating, and went through substance abuse program. Will's mom, Carol Cadigan, described what it's been like.
So I just kept taking him in to therapists, and it was just, everything was chaotic. I didn't know what he was doing. I knew he wasn't, you know, doing the right things, and I couldn't have any control.
Lisa, are stories like this common?
They're very common. Most parents are the first people who ever see anything, any signals or signs that something is amiss, and they don't know what to make of it, because most so-called symptoms for children's mental health are behaviors we see in all children, only they're more intense or you see them more frequently. So the parent is sort of throwing up their hands saying, I have a gut feeling. Then they go through a series of opportunities or visits or appointments, and frequently what happens is people add on diagnoses or add on advice, and it becomes more and more muddled for the parent.
Lisa, the Cadigans also said that they had a problem finding a doctor. Repeatedly throughout our series, people told us essentially the same thing. Is this the biggest problem?
Access to care, I would say, is the number one problem that parents face.
Jean Baresson.
There's a real shortage of providers. I mean, there's 7,000 child psychiatrists in the United States for 7 to 12 million kids. There's 21 per 100,000 in Massachusetts, and we have the richest numbers of child psychiatrists in the country.
But can we do anything to encourage the training of psychiatrists, to put more psychiatrists out there in practice? Will we ever solve that problem, Jean?
I hope so, but it's going to take funding. For example, the federal government has had major cutbacks on specialty training. There are only 320 child psychiatrists graduating nationally because that's all the funding that's available.
Commissioner, let me ask you this question. What's Massachusetts doing trying to address that?
One of the things that the state has done, something we call the Children's Behavioral Health Initiative, is we're adding through MassHealth a span of services that go beyond medication. We're really looking at in-home treatment. We're looking at family partners, parents with lived experience who have learned how to navigate the mental health system. We're teaming them up with families and children who need access to services.
Lisa Lambert, does that sound good to you? Does it sound like it's the right way to go?
It's a new innovative way that many families are giving a thumbs up to.
Let's talk for a couple of minutes about something Lisa was mentioning a few minutes ago, and that's navigating the difficult system of trying to find care and how to coordinate care. We heard from many families talking about that difficulty. We spoke with two parents, Robin Friedlander and Tom Houghton, who say they've spent hours coordinating care for their daughter with the objective of keeping her out of the hospital.
None of it's easy.
If everybody played by the rules...
If anybody would explain what the rules were.
Well, there
you go. I mean, I don't even know what game I'm playing, never mind the rules anymore. It's just too out there. But I will do all of it to keep her from going back into that hospital. Every phone call, every email, every person I have to explain whatever to, I will do 10 times over rather than putting her back there.
Do you think this problem can ever be adequately addressed, Commissioner?
I think really the system needs to be complicated because children are developing.
Needs to be complicated.
Well, I'm going to explain what I mean. Children are complicated beings. And we have to, when you're looking at a child who, and Lisa started the conversation out by this, we don't know if this is normal behavior or if it is more intense or less intense. And we don't want to put a label on a child needlessly. And I think it's very important that we do a thorough assessment. And that means diagnoses can change because a child is growing up.
Let me ask a question about insurance, private insurance. We have a parity law in Massachusetts, so mental health issues are supposed to be covered just as other medical issues are. But there are many private insurers who do not cover some mental health services. A former state mental health commissioner told us that insurers are complying with the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. And Commissioner Leadholm, I'm wondering what might be done so families on private insurance get the same level of service as families using public assistance?
The Department of Mental Health and the Division of Insurance are working together to really look at the implementation of parity. And we are reviewing how it is being implemented in Massachusetts. And definitely, this is something we will be taking a serious look at.
So when are you going to come out with something that's going to deal with that issue?
We're looking at really reviewing this actively now and meeting with the insurers over the next several months. And so I would say, depending on how those conversations go, we're really looking at the next 3 to 6 months.
I'm hopeful, but I'm worried, and I can tell you why. For example, the insurers might say if you have a diagnosis of, say, depression, you can have unlimited visits because it's, quote, biological. And what that means is 15 to 20-minute med visits. Well, that's totally insufficient for treating a child who is truly depressed and has a number of other academic and social problems.
I want to ask all three of you this question. Usually when we have a roundtable, we probably end on a positive note where we ask you to say something positive about what's down the road. But we're going to flip that on its head this time and ask this question. What's at stake if the system does not improve? And Lisa Lambert, let's start with you.
I would say if the system doesn't improve, then many people will simply give up on the system and look for other ways to figure it out. And some of those ways might work, but many of them will, the people will feel just disenfranchised.
Barbara Leadholm.
Our future. Children are our future. And so from my standpoint, this is a call to action for all of us to really invest in the future, to invest in families, and to really help children grow.
Dr. Bereson.
I think we have to put mental health on the same table as other medical problems. And I think we have to understand that the emotional growth and development of our children, as Barbara said, is as critical as taking care of diabetes or other lifelong problems. We have a spectrum of problems. If we can educate, destigmatize families, 1 in 4 of our listeners has somebody in their family that has a problem. It is one of the largest problems, and yet we've been hiding our head in the sand.
Thanks to all three of you for coming in, Dr. Jean Bereson, Lisa Lambert, and Barbara Leadholm. Thank you again.